Good afternoon. It's Dan again, and I'm still in Indianapolis, and it is still Earth Day, and the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the insects and the mice and the moose and the octopi and the octopus and the squid and the whale and the dolphin and the chicken and the cow, the ape and the monkey, the cougar and the rabbit. They're all just hanging out, and they're all just real peaceful, and they're having a tea party, just like fucking Walt Disney. Don't worry about it. Anywho, I had a podcast I did about fraud and what fraud means in the context of being a libertarian, and I don't really want to belabor that. I think I said enough on that topic. But I was actually thinking about something else. I follow ZeroHedge.com probably too much, but here's why I do. It's one of the few sources of news, and even with Zero Hedge, when I use the word news, I put up sarcastic quotes, so you should imagine those in your head, being this is a podcast. But yeah, even with Zero Hedge, it's still something I have to take, with a grain of salt. I have to be skeptical of, because listen, even the Zero Hedge guys, whoever the hell they are, have their own agenda and their own editorial standards. So you just can't read any blog or any internet website, and that includes mine, by the way, and just sort of say, oh, I know what this guy means and blah, 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 and I know his agendas or her agendas. You know what? We don't know maybe what each other's agendas are sometimes. Maybe it's too complicated. But basically, with respect to the web, it's very difficult. To know what my agenda is or what someone else's agenda is. So basically, I was thinking about this question that came up, and it's not so much a question as a comment and a response. I've been thinking a lot about the pension systems ever since 2008. And so before I say too much, I need to explain something. In 2008, I made a promise to myself on a personal level that I would no longer simply believe the economic news bullshit I was reading, from the Wall Street Journal or from the New York Times or from The Economist or from the Christian Science Monitor. I told myself in 2008, especially after the fucking bailout, especially after we gave that giant check to the most decrepit, most disgusting, most horrible people that ever lived. And instead of getting a check, they should have gotten a fucking knife to the fucking throat, and I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but that's what they should have gotten in lieu of check. But no, they got a giant check, and that's what happened. So in 2008, I made myself a promise. I said, Dan, you're a reasonably intelligent guy, and you wanted to believe that if you voted and you kind of participated and played by the rules and did the right thing, that this middle class reality functioned. But what you've just learned is that you're full of shit. And yeah, you're 38 years old, and it would have been better if you knew this at 18 or 8, but it's good that you know now. That's essentially the conclusion I came to in 2008, that basically I would no longer just accept any of the bullshit. Like, for example, the Alan Greenspan. For years and years and years, I accepted his fucking aberrant Chicago school neoliberal monstrous bullshit. I really did believe for quite a while, and probably because I just chose not to think too deeply, because this was, basically it was the 1990s. And even when I was in graduate school, it was like, you know what? I'm just going to believe the nonsense. I'm in my 20s, people seem happy. The fucking computer revolution almost appears as fucking magical as all the bullshit artists say it is. So you know what? Maybe it is magical, and maybe this is some kind of new fucking economy that's never ever existed in the history of the world, right? But after 08, I said, no, I'm going to question this, all of this. I'm not going to simply accept some fucking news story because the name Elon Musk shows up in it, or Google, or fucking, some other person that in the past I might have respected. So I've been thinking a lot about some of these holy saints, these sacred cows of contemporary, I don't know if you want to call it economic theory or political economic theory, but one of the sacred cows, one of them, is the pension fund. And here's the belief. The belief is the pension fund is sacrosanct. The pension fund cannot be destroyed. The pension fund will always accrue in value, and the pension fund will be there for you in retirement. This is basically one of these sacred cows, one of these holy truths. And it is like a holy truth to many of these people, to the faithful. It's a lot like the faith in Social Security. Dan, it's going to be there. It's a holy truth. Well, I'm not going to talk about Social Security today because it would be too fucking scary for most people. I mean, most people in America are depending upon Social Security saving them in their retirement years, and that's just never going to happen. But it is something they want to believe, so they keep believing it. But this isn't about Social Security. This is about pension funds, and specifically one by the name of CalPERS. CalPERS is the California Public Employee Retirement System. Basically, it is, I think, and I could be wrong about this, but I think it's the largest pension fund in the United States, and I think that CalPERS might actually be the largest pension fund in the world, but don't quote me on that. But it certainly is, I think, the largest in the U.S. Now, as of about a year ago, CalPERS was underfunded, which means technically, you know, in the red for future forecasted responsibilities of about $90 billion, which means they're short $90 billion. They need $90 billion. Now, of course, they think they can fix this problem. They think they can solve it. It only depends upon an assumption that they can achieve 7.5% earnings growth year on year. Now, folks, the world economy has barely been treading water at between 1.5 and 2% since the financial crisis began. And oh, by the way, those are inflated numbers. The people who study this will tell you it's been zero or negative. There's been no growth. There's been lots of money printing. There's been lots of inflation per the Austrian definition, which means monetary debasement. But there's really been no growth. There's been some asset bubbles here and there, but really no economic growth. And certainly no growth in wages, which is kind of critical if you want an actual healthy economy. So anyways, CalPERS is based on assumption that instead of having 0% growth, suddenly, magically, in the next few years, America is going to go back to 5 or 6 or 7% growth rates we haven't seen basically since the 90s. And when you consider those growth rates were inflated by a lot of chicanery on the part of Alan Greenspan, we probably haven't seen growth rates like these since the fucking 50s. Well, I hate to break it to the people who expect CalPERS to work, but CalPERS will not work. At some point, I believe CalPERS is going to fail. Well, the problem is that CalPERS is a sacred cow, okay? Just because you say that their assumption is based upon something that is probably not true, just because you say that they're $90 billion short and they're basing their Hail Mary pass on the possibility that the U.S. economy will return to 5% year-on-year GDP growth, I mean, that's basically the assumption. That's crazy. That's not going to happen. And I hate to break it to you, there is no other place in the world where that's going to happen. China is slowing down. India is slowing down. Russia is slowing down. Europe is slowing down. The entire planet is slowing down economically. It's not just the fucking U.S. So I'm singling out CalPERS because CalPERS is huge. I mean, I say it's $90 billion underfunded. I don't even want to know what its projected outlays are, given that that's just this underfunded measure. But CalPERS is a monster. And if CalPERS were to fail, number one, let's talk about this a little bit. CalPERS isn't just a pension fund. In the world, in the dark economy, the dark markets of derivatives, CalPERS is also another kind of secondary investment strategy. So it's not just if CalPERS fails. There are companies that have derivatives, default swaps, that are essentially geared towards CalPERS. CalPERS probably has weird instruments against other pension funds. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the pension funds of the U.S. are not involved in a kind of similar tontine to all the fucking assholes carrying credit default swaps back in 2008. In essence, a circle of people looking at each other, pointing guns at each other. That is essentially probably the covering risk model for the pension funds over the next decade. But we're not supposed to say that. And this is kind of, and this is where I'm getting to my point. And it may seem complicated, but it's not. I actually, spoke with some people I trust, some people that I actually follow online. And based upon what they told me, the way that you would use this assumption as an investment strategy is that you would probably short or bet against those ancillary businesses, that economy that surrounds the pension economy, which ultimately means the quote-unquote retirement economy. Because essentially what I'm betting against is the fantasy that we're all going to fucking retire and go surfing. I don't believe that's going to happen. I am fairly certain that's not going to happen to me, and I think a lot of baby boomers in the next 5 to 10 years are going to have a rude awakening, and many of them are going to be homeless. Today they have a home. Today they have a condo in Florida, or they have an apartment in Seattle, or they're in a villages community someplace else, and they think, I have a home because all my money is safe because it's in the stock market. But the thing is, again, these are all based on assumptions, or I'm safe because I have a pension. Based on assumptions, but these assumptions aren't necessarily true. The other thing is this. I don't actually believe we have free enterprise or free economy. If you want to argue, as some sort of structuralist Marxist that we've never had it, fine, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I was born in 1970. I'm fairly certain that after 1970, we did not have a free economy. It doesn't mean it's always been this bad, but it's always been pretty bad as long as I've been alive. My dad tried to be an honest businessman in a relatively straightforward industry, logging back in the 70s and 80s, before that actually, but that's when I, experienced it because that's when I was alive. And frankly, he tried to do that. He tried to be an honest guy, an honest broker, and he more or less failed. The fact is, he applied rules that no longer apply. We do not live in a free enterprise system. We live essentially in a system of organized crime. Now, you can call it fascism if you want to. You can call it oligarchic capitalism, state capitalism, you call it whatever you want to. But I call it organized crime. And as such, the tools you would use, like, I'm not a financial analyst. I have a background in economics, economic history. I have a fairly good understanding of complexity theory and mathematics because I'm a software engineer. So I understand a lot of the math and the science behind the quote-unquote investment models, the exotic ones that exist today. But I'm not a financial analyst, okay? I don't make a living as one. So please, don't listen to this podcast thinking, oh, Dan's giving financial advice. No, I am not. I actually, posted some stuff to Zero Hedge yesterday about, maybe people should bet against the cruise lines. And a dude actually responded today and said, hey, man, I followed your advice and I made some money. I have no idea if that's true. I didn't look into it if it's true. Frankly, I care so little about the fraudulent activities other than they're an entertainment value, because they do have a kind of entertainment value for those of us with for those of us who have brains. But other than their entertainment value, I don't have any interest in them. They are, from my perspective, instruments of evil. So participating in them, playing in them, listen, I have no interest in that because I'm stacking silver. That's my bet. I'm stacking silver, and I'm trying to live every normal day that I can because I'm not rich. My strategy is not very complicated. Embrace as much normality as you can and make whatever meager preparations you can, because for those of us that aren't rich, we're going to be fucking riding the fucking third class rails right down the hole, and all we can do is hope we can hold our breath long enough. That's the truth. For us, how long can we hold our breath? Because that's what it's going to feel like when the shit falls apart, is how long can you hold your breath? Of course, I mean that figuratively, right? So no, we don't live in a free enterprise economy. So the tools you would use as a financial analyst, like, the tools that you'd learn if you went to school and you studied finance, the tools that you would learn if you went to work for like some, financial organization or investment firm or brokerage house, those tools really don't fucking apply at all. Really, what we're talking about is organized crime. So the tools you need are things like forensic accounting, things like, you know, systems theory, things like intelligence and counterintelligence. You can't think of these people as your friends or as, you know, members of our society who are, you know, given authority because of wisdom. You can't think of these as guardians or ombudsmen. You cannot think of the Federal Reserve as an agency that gives a fuck about you. It does not give a fuck about you, except to the extent that you are a tool in their system that they can use. That's all. They care about you as a part of a formula, but they do not give a fuck about you, okay? You cannot think of these people, whether they are ostensibly formerly public servants, you know, that work for like the government and the FBI, or whether they're quasi bullshit public servants like fucking the SEC or the Federal Reserve. These people do not give a fuck about you. The deep state does not give a fuck about you. So if you're going to make a bet, if you're going to pick an investment strategy, at this point in American history, and actually Gregory Mannarino has said this, and I have to give him credit for saying this because ultimately, you know, he knows more about this than I do, but he said this and other people have said this. If you want to apply a methodology to investing today, it probably should be based more on understanding complex organized crime than the traditional methods of fucking financial analysis and shit like that. That would be my contention. So, for example, if one were to short the cruise lines, okay, one could say, oh, I'm shorting the cruise lines because the retirement economy is about to implode. Well, that's all fine and good. But there's also the possibility that they'll try one more scheme. And believe me, they have at least one more scheme, one of which is helicopter money, and specifically helicopter money to the quote-unquote recognized victims or acceptable victims, the poor, the old, whatever. But ultimately, helicopter money to the old. And what that will do is it'll keep the healthcare system going a bit longer. It might keep the cruise fucking lines going a little bit longer. Yes, it will probably spark some inflation, probably a lot of inflation. But that is one thing they can do. They can do the helicopter money. They can hand out cash and they can hand it out to retired people. They could essentially, you know, treat it, you know, call it Social Security Part B, and essentially you wake up one day as a retired person and you have $1 million in your account. Now that sounds insane, and I believe it is insane to have hundreds of millions of Americans suddenly wake up with $1 million in their retirement account given to them by the Federal Reserve or the Treasury or whatever the fuck. But as crazy as that sounds, that's the kind of nutty thing that this organized crime system could do. And so when I say, yeah, today you can bet against the cruise lines, that doesn't imply you can bet against them tomorrow, because you can't think of this from a market perspective. It's not a functional market. It's a giant fraud. And as such, you have to pull it apart that way. You have to ask yourself, who are the people that make the decisions? What are their interests? What motivates them? Who are their associations? Who are their allies? What are their real, quote-unquote, motivations versus the shit that they say in the press, okay? Because, listen, if it's in the news, it's probably a lie. So I don't know. I guess the message I'm trying to send is a message that others have sent or broadcasted, and in that sense, it might be a bit redundant. But I guess if a person is going to invest in the stock market, and oh, by the way, as I stated earlier, I buy physical silver and other metals. I do not invest in the stock market. I have thought about various types of gambits. Like, for example, I believe in the peak oil theory of current economic history, which means that if you believe in this theory, there are certain predictive things that fall into play. For example, Hubbert predicted something called the Rocky Plateau. Well, according to Hubbert's theory of peak oil, before you go down the other side, which is the permanent decline, you actually spend time on what's called the top of the peak or the Rocky Plateau, and it's like a constant tug of war between the price of oil and the ability of the economy to absorb the price of oil and to grow. Well, what have we really experienced since 1999? We've had one peak, one trough, one peak, one trough, one peak, one trough after another. So here's the deal. If they start printing money, it is almost guaranteed, or I should say, if they start printing money again with as much vigor or more vigor than they did a few years ago, and it seems like if the Federal Reserve goes to negative interest rates and begins either a stealth or a overt version of QE part 2 or 3 or 12, if they go to helicopter money, this will have a short-term impact. It will, you know, this is how crack-up booms work. At first, maybe the first 6 months to a year, it could seem like the economy is recovering. That's essentially a little bit of what happened in Japan back in 2013 when they decided, you know, to do Abenomics. Well, it lasted about 6 fucking months. 6 months of fucking optimism and another 30 years of debt they can't repay. So here's the deal. You can't assume that a bet made yesterday will be true today. You can't assume that a gambit that functioned against a criminal a week ago will work a year from now. This is organized crime, and actually, these are really sociopathic and really smart criminals. These are the smartest criminals that have ever lived, really. They're probably the smartest ever because they have figured out the perfect scheme. They have drained trillions and trillions of dollars of wealth from every person on the planet and given it to themselves. There is no act of thievery that has been more successful than what the financial engineers have done to the world economy in the last few decades, and mostly in the last 20 years, but certainly the last few decades. So don't look at it like it's a market. Don't fucking read Adam Smith and pretend that it's a fucking Wealth of Nations bullshit. Don't pretend that it's fucking libertarian bullshit. It's not. I'm a libertarian. I'm going to tell you something. America does not have free enterprise. We have something that kind of looks like it in the sense that margarine kind of tastes like butter. And yeah, sometimes it does sort of taste like butter. But we do not have free enterprise. And margarine is not butter, okay? So if you're going to try to understand what's going to happen to a stock, in my opinion, and again, I'm not a financial advisor, you really do have to approach it like you're researching an organized crime situation. You know, a criminal organization. You need to document it. You need to diagram it. You need to understand its motivations. And then, if you're really smart, you can play their game too. It's not a long-term game. It's a zero-sum game. It's a game of people pointing guns at each other. And eventually, even if there are winners, there's lots of dead bodies left on the floor.